Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Wrestling hangovers be damned. We are live and on the air. This is Georgia Wrestling Now with your host, the award-winning wrestler with popculture.com, Mr. Jonathan Williams.
Thank you, Matt Hankins, and wrestling hangover is a good way to put it. Not necessarily, I guess because of the sheer amount of wrestling that I saw over the weekend, but also because a lot of it was out in the sun and an all-day festival that, for me, didn't end until about 1 or 2 in the morning. Because I stayed for the movies and everything. And I'm referring to the Rock and Roll Monster Bash at the Starlight Drive-In yesterday with Monstrosity Championship Wrestling and Alice Cooper Tribute Band, Evil Dead 2, lots of other festivities. But it all started Friday with Progression Pro, and then I actually did not see any wrestling on Saturday, but saw plenty of it Friday and Sunday. And you can read Larry Goodman's review of the Progression Pro show at gwhnews.com, as well as his review of the Peach State Wrestling Alliance 5th Anniversary show, which sounds like it was a return to form of sorts for them after his previous review for their last show.
It's a big couple weeks for that bunch, being after the review he left for the last one, and then to come into this one, and then being back home for them, I'm sure was a giant deal. Being back in Carrollton helped them a lot. And from what I read in his review, they're going to be there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I actually never had a chance to see them at any of these new venues, which I guess means I haven't been out there since last year. But I do know that the VFW Fairgrounds facility was kind of their home, and it was a big deal when they had to move abruptly. So it's probably good for them to be back there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also heard that PCW had a big show out in Porterdale that included De La Vega turning on the undead or Supernatural. And
yeah.
Various
big
other
shocker.
Things.
A big shocker in a match that they looked to have well in hand given who their competition was, but as things tend to do down there, you never know what's going to happen. that's going to be a brawl when it gets all settled.
Yeah, well, I guess they're building up to they're doing another big outdoor 4th of July show, so that's coming up in just over a month, and if it's anything like last year, it'll be another big show. Then I guess UIW was Saturday as well?
It was Saturday. The return of the Empire. The King of Wrestling returned off of his massive press as he came out with the paper that he was on the front page of, and apparently got a little unfocused as he lost the second match in this series with TC, and that's all going to culminate on the 15th now in a best out of three falls match on the 15th. So yeah, a lot of wrestling everywhere. And apparently PWA had a possible Rick Michaels maybe turning his back on the Exotic Ones, maybe?
That's what it sounded like, or could be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Walked out the front door.
And the appearance of Jeff G. Bailey as the lawyer for the Exotic One.
Well, I guess Dave Wills just pulled out all the stops.
I guess so. But it was not victorious, though, was he? As he was toted out wearing a pig nose. Peach State is rocking and rolling again.
Well, it's good to hear because I know they had some ups and downs. And always liked good old Peach State.
They tell the crowd is something to write home about.
on a slightly grander stage, I guess, TNA Slammiversary was last night, and Gunnar, a Georgia favorite and Anarchy veteran, is now one half of the tag team champions with Cowboy James Storm. And coincidentally, yes, both of tonight's guests have reason to not be so happy about that. Corey Hollis and possibly Mike Posey. I never got confirmation on that, but at least Corey Hollis of Alabama Attitude will be calling in. And this Saturday at Anarchy, Alabama Attitude faces Gunnar and Steven Walters in the main event. And then our next guest at the end of the show is Christopher Daniels, which he obviously was involved in the match at Slammiversary, and he and Kazarian have been trying to regain those tag titles for quite a while now. So I guess we should have had Gunnar call in too, since there's going to be so many people talking about him.
Who knows? But, you never know on this show.
We might have a Gunnar drive-by.
Gunnar drive-by.
Well, I don't know if that's really his style, but I certainly would welcome if he's listening and would like to call. He is welcome to do so. I started to try to get him as a guest when he came out, I guess, last week on Impact to become James Storm's tag partner. But we already have.
You know, nobody really had seen Gunnar there in a while. Everybody's kind of wondering, you know, what his status was, because, hell, we saw him here most of the time. He was, you know, in one of the promotions around here, and you really didn't know what his status was. And he pops back up on TV. Damned if he doesn't go to the pay-per-view and come out with a title.
Yeah, it was a good surprise. I don't know why he's been off screen for so long, because clearly he hasn't been injured, because he's been wrestling at all kinds of indie shows, not just locally, but definitely making appearances at PWR and Anarchy and places like that. But
it seems to look bigger every time you see him.
Yeah, his beard has gotten bigger too.
Impressive beard. That is an impressive beard. Maybe he's got a playoff beard for hockey. I don't know.
Well, I wonder. I don't know if they've come up with a tag team name, but they are some handsomely bearded fellows for sure. but I guess that brings us to our first guest. I'm going to assume it's Corey Hollis. Is that you, Corey?
Yeah, man. What's up?
Not much here. How have you been?
Good, man. Just really, you know, busy and stuff all the time, you know, living a life.
Yeah,
that
well,
you are.
I've seen you and Mike Posey appear quite a few times recently on Ring of Honor. Is that that's going to be an ongoing thing, or do you know yet?
Not for sure on how frequent it's going to be. It just depends on... There's a lot of other things going on, too, at the same time. So hopefully, you know, we'll love to be frequent more and with them a lot more, but we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, how did that tag team come together? I believe you were both part of Jimmy Rave Approved, and then that sort of dissolved. Did it just kind of spring right out of that?
We were actually doing Ring of Honor stuff when we... Right before, I want to say before Jimmy Rave Approved really picked up, it was just something Bill Barron's got us booked on. They needed a bunch of new guys when a lot of booking stuff was being changed and stuff, and that's how we got our foot in the door. We first had a match there, I want to say, somewhere in the end of 2010.
Okay. And then, of course, you're in the main event this Saturday at Anarchy, where I guess you would consider that your home promotion for Alabama Attitude. And you got a pretty big challenge ahead of you with, as we were talking about a few minutes ago, Gunnar and Steven Walters. So, what are your thoughts going into that match?
It's gonna be awesome. I think we're gonna shock the world at what we can do. I mean, Gunnar, you know, he's big too, but I've been standing toe-to-toe with guys like Michael Elgin and Jay Briscoe and Roger Strong and the Davey Richards for the past few months. So I think, you know, Gardner's going to be a test, but it's something I can overcome too.
How much does the fact that he's now a tag team champion in TNA influence, you know, going into that match? Does that change your perspective at all, or how you're preparing for it?
I mean, I'm going to be working, you know, just as hard as I always do. I mean, him winning tag team title, that's awesome and everything. But at the end of the day, I want to be able to, for everybody to know that I can hang with a TNA World Tag Team Champion. I can hang with the Ring of Honor World Champion pretty good. So I don't think it'd be that much difference of a task.
When the Ring of Honor thing came about, was that a goal for you, or was it just one of those things that it came about and you said, it's a good opportunity, so I'll jump on it?
Ring of Honor was like my main first goal when I first got into wrestling, and it was really cool because I got into Ring of Honor like my first year in wrestling. That was awesome to me. And then, I really want, like, to me, for me personally, I really want that Ring of Honor singles run. Really bad, and I want to have that longevity there of a career there before I go, you know, whether it's TNA or WWE. I think, honestly, I was more excited for Ring of Honor than I was when I had my TNA match, just because of the history of Ring of Honor and what, you know, all the guys that have come out of Ring of Honor and what Ring of Honor really means is the wrestling and everything and not so much the entertainment.
Exactly. And they've been in a state of a little bit of change recently. Have you noticed things starting to stabilize a little bit more?
Yes. It is great the way things are now. It's not as hectic and crazy as it used to be. We go in there and you know what you're doing and stuff. You know, used to it was just like, what's going on type of thing. And now it's like more little hands-on more than anything, so it's a big difference.
You were a part of their big show in New York, if I remember right, correct?
Yes.
How was that? Was that your first time wrestling up there?
It was my first. Well, what is really cool, I get to say, the first time I ever wrestled in New York City, I wrestled at the Hammerstein Ballroom. That's really freaking cool, you know?
That's not bad to go in on, is it?
Yeah, I mean, and it sold out Hammerstein, too, at that, you know. Like, and the thing is I didn't even realize what I did until, like, two hours after I did it. Like just because my adrenaline was running so much, and, you know, it was, like, a big opportunity because I had a match, but it was a singles match, too. And I was like, you know, this is it, you know, here's my shot and everything. And, you know, and I got great reviews from everybody and everything else, and, you know, I didn't realize what I did until I was sitting there. I was like, holy crap, I just wrestled in a sold-out Hammerstein Ballroom. That is awesome, you know?
One of those venues that you can recognize it. As soon as you see it on TV, you know exactly where the wrestling is. You look up in those rafters and see that odd balcony.
Yeah, you know, it was like when I got there that afternoon, and I saw it empty, you know, before I went and ate and stuff. I was like, holy crap. This is really happening, huh? Like, all right, let's do it, you know? I mean, it's really cool and stuff, because I, you know, for someone that's been wrestling for, you know, 3.5 years, I've got to do a lot of cool stuff, and wrestling in the Hammerstein ranks up there with probably one of my top five things.
And like you said, you've been in for three and a half, 4 years, and I don't think anybody who sees you would believe that right off the bat, because you've always carried yourself like a guy who's been in it forever. Have you caught flat from, like, some of the guys you were coming up with who maybe hadn't got the breaks that you have?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Have you caught any flack from the guys that you were coming up with that you got so much in such a little time?
I mean, with the guys that I came up with, I mean, it was a bunch of, like, you know, older type guys. You know, I was trained by Will Owens and guys like Christian Hayne and Posey and Adam Roberts and Patrick Bentley and Adam Jacobs. They've been so positive, you know, with every opportunity that I've had and stuff, especially lately with all the opportunities I'm getting on the indie scene. And more that right there is where I'm having my most fun at right now. Just getting to, like, wrestle guys like Elgin and Briscoe, and I get to wrestle Eddie Edwards next month, which I was really looking forward to. It, you know, the both, you know, all the boys that I came up with, they're really positive about it and everything. So really it's, you know, keep doing what I'm doing type thing is what they keep telling me.
You hadn't scheduled any soft hitters for yourself and the people you just listed off that you've got matches coming up with and those you just have. What is it like being there with some of those just big, thick, hard swinging dudes?
Oh, man, it's awesome. Because I finally get to show people that I can hang with, you know, the best in the world, and that's what these guys are. They're absolutely best in the world. You know, someone like Jay Briscoe is somebody I've watched ever since I was, you know, 11, 12 years old. And, you know, I got to wrestle him like a week or two after he won the Ring of Honor World title. That was really cool. And I'm a huge fan of Elgin's work, just how that dude is so cock strong. It's so crazy. And, you know, that was fun. And I'm really looking forward to wrestling with Eddie because, you know, I love Eddie as a person. We always, you know, every time we get together, we always hang out and have a good time. And it's going to be a real, real fun test for me and, you know, just hanging with another one of the best.
I think a lot of people were pretty surprised to A, see, you know, Jay go off on a solo thing and especially to win the title. Did it shock you?
I can't really say it shocked me because I kind of had a feeling it was happening before it did. You know, I think it's good on him. You know, him. I think him and Mark will tear it down in Baltimore in a few weeks. I think they'll have a really great match, you know. And they're doing good for themselves and everything. So, you know, it's nothing, you know. I feel like every tag team wrestler, especially someone that's been in Ring of Honor that long, they're going to get their opportunity to show what they can do in a singles life.
Yeah. And you are no stranger to winning belts of your own. As I recall, I think I read you the Pro Wrestling Evo. Something happened.
Yeah, Pro Wrestling Evo champion. Me and Cedric went to a 30-minute Iron Man match, and we went to a draw, and then we had an extra 5 more minutes, and we tore the house down, man. Strain pulled my lat muscle, actually, and it, you know, it's still sore, but it's starting to feel a little bit better, so I'm able to get more of my weight back up in the gym and stuff.
Yeah. How have you managed your schedule? Because it is brutal. You are, you know, we said that Anarchy is kind of your home promotion for Alabama Attitude, but outside of that, you really are just everywhere all the time.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think, like, I counted it up in April. I was only home for, like, 8 days. Because I was, like, I think I went through, like, 20-something states in April. This past few weeks, I got to stay home a little bit more and, you know, just rest up my injuries and stuff and catch up and see my family that I don't get to see much and everything. But, be one of those guys that gets those opportunities, that's what you have to do. I hear a lot of complaints from, you know, a lot of guys so many times that, you know, they're like, what do I got to do this and this and this? I was like, you got to get out there. You got to show, you know, people that you're for real about wrestling. You know, it's not a hobby to me. This is who I am, and it's what I was, you know, bred for, and this is what I'm supposed to do, you know. And, like, I hear guys all the time, you know, that, you know, they want to get the same opportunities that I do, but they don't work as hard. And it shows. It really does. You know, so, I mean, I can't fault them, but it's like bless their heart type thing because, they say they want it, but saying it, going out there and doing it is two totally different things.
And a lot of that happens Monday through Friday in that gym. Was that something that you had to turn yourself onto, or was that just sort of your natural inclination to be a gym rat anyways?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and I was always lifting logs and bricks and stuff, and it's, you know, working out is something I've always had a passion for ever since I was about 15, you know, and it's something I'm accustomed to, but it's something I have to do, you know what I mean? It's like, now I'm to the point, if I don't go to the gym, I'm like the most diva person that anybody will ever meet. You can ask Chip and Cedric that. If I don't get in the gym, I'm ill and it's like don't talk to me type thing.
I could imagine that. That's not a shock.
Yeah, it doesn't get pretty. It really don't.
I know the last time I talked to you, you'd just come back from Florida. What was that like?
Oh, man. Oh, was it for FIP?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, man, that was fun. You know, I think I went down there with Caleb and Skyler, and I love them to death. They're fun to hang out with and, you know, just be around and such. And, you know, that was a fun trip. It was cool to show what Corey Hollis can do as his, you know, as at his own in a singles down, you know, and get that shine. And, you know, they put me over pretty good and everything. And so that was a really fun experience and everything. So it was really fun. It really was. Mm-hmm.
And in the relatively short run that you've had, did you notice a turning point somewhere where you felt, shit, man, I think I've got it now?
Oh, man. I honestly, sometimes I still fight with myself if I really got it. I think just being around the people that I've been around has really helped me out a lot, you know. Getting to learn from people like AJ and Davey, Otan and Jimmy, like and Jimmy and Sal, you know, people, they're both so underrated about stuff. Like, I'll talk to them a lot about just ideas of stuff. And Steve Carino has been helping me out tons lately with just promos and coming into my own as a promo guy and as a really good heel and stuff. And, you know, it's just a combination of, like, everybody that I've been around. It's solely not just on me, you know. It's not, you know, I put in the work, yeah, but me listening to everything I've ever been told, you know, by so many different, you know, great people is what has helped branded Corey Hollis.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, you just said, you know, learning how to be better promo, better at working your emotions. What is some of the work you do to try to get better at that? Because you can go to the gym all day, but that's not going to teach you charisma for anything.
Oh, I'm always thinking about wrestling and stuff and just thinking about ideas and stuff. I mean, I get ideas all the time and people just, like, I'll brainstorm off Carino really fast. I was like, I have this, help me get this out off my chest. Well, like, what are the best ways to say it? And Carino in like 20 seconds is right there with something, you know, and he's, you know, he's helped me out so much, especially in the past month with, especially everything I'm doing up in Charlotte and stuff, which is so much fun.
So do you know what's next in your Evo? You know who you got lined up for defenses and things like that?
I know I got Eddie Edwards in June. And right now I'm also trying to get the PWX heavyweight title. You know, that's something that's going to hopefully happen, you know, if I get my match down the road with that. But I know Eddie Edwards... I think I might be defending the Evo title soon against Steen, which will be fun. You know, they're really trying to keep me surprised a lot about things, but sometimes it gets out to me.
At some point, you're going to be begging for enhancement talent. Just for once, just let me have a
match. Oh, I love it, man. It's great. I feel like I'm one of the luckiest guys in wrestling right now.
It'd be hard to argue with that point. I mean, that's not to say you hadn't worked to get there and you don't deserve it, but damn. It's a lot to get right all at the front.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm busting my butt off, you know, pretty hard, you know. A lot of people say, you know, they throw out a certain, you know, person's name because I'm his boy or whatnot, but it has nothing to do with that, honestly. It's just me busting my butt, and I think people are, you know, really seeing, you know, how much of a student of the game I really am.
Whether you have, maybe you have some help in getting a chance. Nobody's in there helping you as soon as you
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. I mean, it's, you know, it's a guy booking it. You know, someone that might have faith in me, and then I go out there and hopefully I, you know, exceed their expectations and the fans' expectations.
There's a lot of people who get shots, but not everybody capitalizes on them.
Exactly, you know, and it's all about opportunity and being ready for it.
Well, Corey, you mentioned...
I don't like to talk too much.
That's all right. You asked a lot of the stuff that I was wondering about, but you mentioned a lot of different promotions. Most of them are the bigger indie promotions. Are there any that you're not working for? I guess what I'm really asking is there any place that you'd like to work that you have not yet worked, or do you have any other kind of goals like that aside from, you know, going to TNA or WWE or having a bigger run in Ring of Honor or something like that?
I really want to get out to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, like, really bad. Guys, I feel like a lot of those, you know, just like all the heels there, they just try to be cool. There's nobody there that people just want to beat the crap out of. And that's what I feel like I'm coming into as a character-wise and everything. I mean, I love to do Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. There's some places up in the Northeast where I'm actually getting my foot in, like NEW and stuff. And, you know, I've been talking a little bit with CZW, and I'm getting to do the Super Indie in Pittsburgh in a few weeks for IWC. You know, man, I'm just doing whatever I can to stay busy, you know. And I know one day eventually it's all going to be worth it. And really, it's really, like I said, I'm probably really one of the luckiest guys, especially on the indie scene. I'm really looking forward to getting the opportunity to go toe-to-toe with so many different guys, and that's my favorite thing. My one goal, though, is to one day wrestle AJ. That's the be-all, end-all for me right there.
Really? I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, that's the be-all, end-all for me.
Well, prior to you getting so busy with all these other promotions on the road, we saw you pretty much everywhere here in Georgia, but now it seems like Anarchy is pretty much the only place to see you now. Or am I overlooking some Georgia shows where you're still working regularly?
No, man, you're really right. I mean, I barely even get to do Anarchy as much as, you know, as it is. I feel like I've done Anarchy like 3 times like this year probably. And it's really, you know, more of Posey saying, hey, let's go do Anarchy. And it's like, okay, I got this weekend off, let's go do it type thing. You know, and, you know, I'm not in a consistent storyline there, you know. I'm there to help, you know, especially help out, you know, some of the younger guys as much as I can. It's weird for me to say that, you know, but, like, you know, people do ask me a lot for help, you know. But, you know, it's pretty cool getting to go out and stuff. And, you know, and I always tell people to always, you know, no matter what you do, always give back. Because I don't know if y'all know this. I used to coach wrestling here back home in Alabama before I got so busy. And I always told them, whatever you do in life, you give back to the people that gave to you. And that's what I try to do as much as I can. And so, I mean, it's hard, but, you know, I really, you know, try to as much as I can.
And that's not something that a lot of guys who are kind of on the run that you are even think about at this point. You see guys maybe when they get older and when their bodies won't let them do as much, then they'll start thinking about giving back. But you've kind of started, you're just going to keep it going from all the way up.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's the thing, man. There's so many talented guys out there, and they always wonder why they're not getting the shots and opportunities that, you know, someone like I am. And I feel like a lot of it's your attitude, it's your persona, not like what you do in the ring, but it's everything you do. You got to be so professional, and you got to, you know, appreciate what you have. And because there's so many guys out there, like, that are not even in wrestling that would kill for the spots that we have or kill to be as talented as we are and, you know, to be blessed with the gifts that we are, you know. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't look at it that way. I think they're just wanting to be wrestlers and they feel like wrestling. There's so many guys that feel like wrestling owes them something. If wrestling doesn't owe anybody anything, everything you're giving is an opportunity and you got to make the most of it.
It's just refreshing.
What's that?
Refreshing. It's just refreshing to hear somebody who actually still likes wrestling.
Oh, man, I mean, I love wrestling. I love everything about wrestling, every little thing about it, you know? And, you know, I just see so many guys that there's, you know, I'm not saying they'll never make it or anything, but I feel like if they're not, you know, out there putting in the time, you know, most of them, you know, have families or whatnot, and I understand that, you know. I have people that depend on me too, but at the same time, I'm going out there and doing whatever I got to do to make my dreams happen and make sure they got what they got, what they need at the same time. You know, it's hard. It really is. But that's life, you know?
Yeah, it's not easy. Well, who are some of the guys that you've seen, whether they be here or just kind of in your travels, who's some of that next level of guys you think we should keep an eye on?
Oh, man. Definitely Cedric Alexander, Adam Page, Andrew Everett, who was Chiva Kid. He's a great talent. Chip, you know, Chip is really great, you know. He really is. He's so underrated, and he's someone that, you know, deserves a little bit more shot than what he's getting. In the Georgia area, I really like Drew Adler. He's got the great mind. He's got a good head on his shoulders. And, you know, he just needs to get out more. And I tell him that every time I see him, that he needs to get out more.
Yep.
It seems like he's starting
the corner
to.
The he turned this year, you know, from this time last year to this time last year, he's almost a different dude.
Yeah. I mean, he really is. And he's coming. Well, you know, he's 21, 22-ish, you know, and it takes, you know, everybody says it takes boys longer to mature and whatnot, you know, or just to grow up, you know what I mean? And, or get out there and be that, you know, independent and stuff. And, you know, he's doing really good for himself. I actually will hopefully get to see him this week when I help out Sal with the TNA merch this week. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of guys.
You're going to all these places and then still have enough kindness in you to go sell merch.
Yeah, man. Definitely, you know.
Where do you keep your halo when you wrestle?
Oh, man, it's just I feel like had a lot of people that, you know, helped me out when I was growing up for me to be where I'm at. So a lot of good people in my life.
Well, Corey, we want to thank you for calling. And before we let you go, where else, if anywhere, can we see you here locally or in the Southeast?
He's got a date on the moon. He'll be wrestling on the moon in 2 weeks. And Saturn after that.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. I got Pro Wrestling Evo coming up. And like I said, I'll be in Pittsburgh in 2 weeks, I want to say, for IWC's, or no, next week, actually, for IWC's Super Indie, which is going to be a fun card. There's Bobby Fish, ACH. That's where Zima Ion came from. There's so many great talent there. I think Hogan will be there. Me, Jimmy, and Kyle are actually making up the drive. And I got Pro Wrestling Evo and PWX coming up. And just, I can't even really remember right now, to be honest with you, but there's so many places. My summer is, like, so crazy filled right now. I tend to forget a lot. So.
All right. Well, good luck in all that. And good luck this Saturday, of course. And I'm sure we'll probably see you. I'll be at the TNA show, so I'll make sure to find you at whichever merch table you're at.
Hey, man, if you want to buy some AJ gloves, some, you know, some shirts, you know, a belt, we don't get any, you know, extra money for it, but it'd be pretty cool if you did, so I can rub it in Sal's face.
I'll make sure I buy any merch that I buy, I'll buy it from you.
All right, man.
All right, roll thanks.
Roll tide,
bro.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Wrestling fans, Anarchy Wrestling Television tapings are the second and fourth Saturdays of every month at 4236 Level Grove Road in Cornelia, Georgia. For more information on Anarchy Wrestling and on the shows to watch the television product and a whole lot more, go to anarchy-wrestling.net. That's Anarchy Wrestling, the second and fourth Saturdays of every month in Cornelia, Georgia.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
Whether you're having an autograph session, personal appearance, or live event, we got just the person you need to contact for all of those needs. SBI Bookings, is home of some of the best stars in the wrestling industry today. They provide you with the best talent this business has to offer, from Kevin Nash, Larry Zbysko, Scott Steiner, and many, many more. So who will you contact next time you're planning an event? The men of SBI Bookings. Check them out at sbibookings.com.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? What happened in Columbus on my birthday? Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins. And our next guest will be returning to Georgia when TNA, when Impact Wrestling airs live from the Gwinnett Arena on Thursday. And then they'll also be in Rome on Friday. And his name is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels. How you doing tonight, Christopher?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Awesome. Are you feeling okay? You sound like you've had one too many miles to rehabs. I want you to calm down a little bit, Jonathan. I don't want you to lose your head. I don't want you to, like, have a heart attack right on the air. Okay? I know you're excited to talk to me, but just calm down for a second. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Count to three, okay. And then here we go. Is that cool?
Yeah. Okay, I feel a little better.
Okay, good. Really okay. Now you sound calm. All right, good. How's it going, guys?
Doing all right. Just so you know, I always sound like a robot, so.
Understood. It's the voice modulator. You're like Stephen Hawking. I got you. Okay.
Only not as smart.
Probably less mobile, too. That's cool. Jonathan, well, what can I do for you today? We're talking Georgia. We're talking wrestling. I do both in that state, so let's do this.
Yeah, well, of course, you'll be back this Thursday, but.
Of course.
When I think of Christopher Daniels in Georgia, I've seen you a few times that stood out. One was when Ring of Honor was here, WrestleMania weekend, and the other was when TNA was in Gainesville last October, and you had that three-way match with AJ Styles and Austin Aries. Those were two incredible matches among many that you've probably had here in Georgia. But do you have any particular Georgia moments that stand out in your memory?
You know what? Now that you mentioned the match with Eddie at the WrestleMania weekend, the Ring of Honor show, that's one of them. Eddie was a great Ring of Honor champion at the time, and he's a great competitor, and I really had a lot of really good chemistry with him on that last little run that I had with Ring of Honor. Anytime I wrestle with AJ, though, that stands out. I mean, as far as, like, when I talk about chemistry with an opponent, I don't think there's anyone better than AJ in terms of my career. But the truth of the matter is that the Georgia wrestling fan base is strong, and no matter where you are in Georgia, you always try and put a little bit of extra effort in there because, you know, they've seen the best wrestling throughout their, you know, many, many years, Crockett Promotions and the Omni and all that stuff. You can't just go in there and go half-assed. You got to go out and, you know, give 120%. You can't 110%. That's not enough. So, that's the thing. Coming to Gwinnett Arena this Thursday, coming off of Slammiversary, the ring general, the master of the bad influence himself is going to bring his A game.
Speaking of bad influence, you've had a few different gimmicks as you've come through. This one seems to just be you. Have I got that right?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. The thing about what you see on television with Bad Influence, with the physical fascination Francois Kazarian and sexually delicious Christopher Daniels, this is how we are. In the locker room, in the car driving to the building, as we walk through the airport, we're the two smart-ass, snarky, talk junk, and back it up type of guys. And that's what's made us the most entertaining act on Impact Wrestling today. And that's not bragging if it's true. So it's not bragging.
Yeah, that's not bluster. That is absolutely a fact. When that interest music hits and that strut starts down that ramp, shit gets real.
Absolutely gets real. You know, Frankie and I we've towed the company line for a long time, and we decided to hell with that. Let's go do what we want to do. And that's what's resulted has been the last 20 months of our careers in Impact Wrestling. We go out there, we do what we want to do, and we get back, and everybody's like, "Hey, that was really entertaining." And we're like, "Yeah, duh."
it really, and you don't need to have titles. You don't need anything, but just the opportunity to walk out of the curtain.
That's what they tell us too. They tell us you don't need titles. So.
Doesn't mean you don't want them, I'm guessing, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I said this last night at Slammiversary. 2 years ago, the Impact Wrestling tag belts didn't mean a thing. You know what I mean? They had, you know, it was a bunch of second stringers, and they weren't even defended at Bound for Glory. And then all of a sudden, and the truth of the matter is, the team that actually brought a little interest back to them the first time was Samoa Joe and Magnus. Like, they were a fresh act. And nobody knew that they were going to be as good as they were. But then along comes Francois Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. And now all of a sudden everybody wants those titles. Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, former world champions, they become a team to try and get the belts. Chavo Guerrero Jr., they were trying to get him into TNA for years. Finally he shows up. He gets Hernandez as his partner. Now they want the tag titles. And then you've got James Storm, who's been in the hunt for the world title for forever. All of a sudden now he wants to throw his ring his hat in the ring, and he picks Gunner to be his partner. So, I mean, and why do you think that all is? It's because they all want to be in a position where that influence was, and that's the top of the mountain.
And, you know, for a long time, TNA's tag division, if you were the TNA tag champions, that probably meant you were the best tag team in the world. What happened to kind of where it got pushed down the card a little bit?
Well, I think it's just a matter of, like, the individuals that made up the tag team division. When Frankie and I decided to be the tag team or to come together as a tag team, Beer Money had just split up, and the Motor City Machine Guns were battling through injuries, and they weren't together at that time. So Frankie and I saw the writing on the wall. We knew that there was a spot to open up. There was a position available to be the best tag team in the company, and it didn't take as long to sort of fill that spot.
Well, you guys, as we mentioned earlier, you're going to be at the Gwinnett Arena this Thursday. The last time TNA was at that venue, it was Bound for Glory in 2007, which is obviously the company's biggest show, and Impact is a weekly TV show. I guess that says something about how much the company has grown since 2007, but what are your thoughts on that, you know, on returning to that venue? I don't recall if you were part of that Bound for Glory, but...
I was at that Bound for Glory. I actually wrestled Jay Lethal for the X Division title at that Bound for Glory.
Oh, right. Okay.
But the truth of the matter is right now it's good to be – I'm getting a lot of feedback. I'm hearing myself. Can you fix that? No?
No?
Okay. I don't
– All right, never mind. I like listening to myself too. That's fine. Everyone likes listening to me. I can listen to myself too. Ever since March, when we put Impact on the road, we've gone to bigger arenas. We've been in front of newer – there you go. We've been in front of new fans every week, and it's been nothing but onward and upward for Impact Wrestling. And so now we're going to places like we were in Chicago in March, and you saw how that looked. We were in Tupelo, Mississippi 2 weeks ago. You saw how great that looked. Last night, we're at Agganis Arena in Boston, and we filled that place. I expect the exact same thing this coming Thursday in Gwinnett Arena. We're going to fill that place, and we're going to fill it with fans that haven't seen us for a while, but they're going to be hungry to see great wrestling. And you know what says great wrestling? Bad Influence.
Absolutely.
That's what I keep
hearing. You can tell you can tell the difference in the product as soon as it went live. You know, things felt more exciting just having a live crowd that was not the one that saw you the week before. Did that play havoc, though, with you guys scheduled that you were used to doing it in one place?
No, not really. I mean, you know, me living on the West Coast, it doesn't matter where I travel because I'm always traveling. When I was flying every week, going to Orlando, going to the Impact Zone, you know, it didn't matter to me whether I was flying there or flying to Philadelphia, flying to Chicago, flying to Raleigh-Durham. You know, we're always traveling. But I will say that being in front of a different crowd every week, it certainly has upped the intensity. It's certainly upped the electricity, you know, because you don't get that law of diminishing returns. As good as the Impact Zone was, after a while they were just numb to all the things that were happening in front of them. You know, they saw the same people. They, you know, maybe they were wrestling different people all the time, but it was the same wrestlers they were seeing every week. And it started to become harder and harder to get a reaction out of them. But now we're in front of different people every week. And so far, ever since March, like I said, when we started Impact on the road, we've had nothing but great crowds. And I feel like having those great crowds and hearing that electricity come through when you watch it on television, I think that it shows a bit of growth for our company. It's a different looking product now that we're in different venues across the United States.
And how much fun was it for Bad Influence to get to come out when you were doing the England tour and do some of the crazy things you did over there?
Awesome, man. The UK fans are great. I think part of the reason that they're so rabid when we do this is that we're only over there once a year. And we've been very fortunate to capitalize on that desire to see us over there. I mean, our ratings over there are great. Popularity over there is through the roof. And so when we finally get a chance to be there live, the UK fans are insane. And this last tour that Frankie and I were on together, it was incredible, man. We had a great time, and it was a great response. But that atmosphere that you saw from the UK fans, we're also getting that now in the United States. I can tell you Chicago, like I said before, when we were in Corpus Christi a couple months back, and even last night in Boston. We hadn't been in Boston in forever, and walking out into the Agonis Arena last night, it was great, man. It was the filled to capacity. The guys, the fans were hungry to see great wrestling action. And, you know, when you've got a crowd like that, you can't help but turn your game up a notch.
And we talked to our first guest about he's just kind of getting his start in ROH a little bit. And when you look back at your time in ROH, if you look at that class, if you consider it like a school class that you were in there with, did you have a feeling when you were there that so much of that roster would have broke out to be giant stars?
Well, I knew the talent was there so many times, especially in professional wrestling, because it's an objective business, and just because you're really talented doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the breaks that constitute you know, becoming a huge superstar. But, I mean, when I looked around and I saw guys like Daniel Bryan and Low Ki and Paul London and Samoa Joe, you know, I knew that there was talent there. It was just a matter of getting those breaks and capitalizing on them. I mean, it's one thing to get a break, but if you're not prepared when that break comes, you're just going to fall by the wayside. But what happened was you got these guys that worked hard on the independent scene and cut their teeth and honed their craft by wrestling around the world, wrestling different opponents, wrestling for different promoters, and becoming so comfortable with themselves that it didn't matter what ring, what promotion they were in, they were performing at the peak capacity every night, night in and night out. That's how you become a commodity to a promoter, and that's how you end up breaking through. That's how you take advantage of the opportunities when they finally come.
And you were sort of the poster man for that, as you know, you were in every independent that you could get to. Was there a few that you could point to that kind of really helped springboard you to the next level?
Absolutely. And I won't even count Ring of Honor and TNA, just because at the time, you know, they sort of opened around the same period of time. And when they first both started, I had no idea that they were going to last as long as they did. We weren't sure what was going to happen. So those first years for both of those were just hard work. We knew there was a lot of hard work going on. But as far as the independent scene, I know the one that stands out first and foremost for me was ECWA. Jim Kettner ran a very tight ship. He had a very strong idea of what he wanted to do for his shows. He had a great mind for getting the most out of each piece of talent that he ever booked. He made the Super 8 tournament one of the landmark events of the independent professional wrestling scene, and it was copied so many different times, so many different ways by promoters all across the United States. He was definitely a trendsetter, and then my success in the ECWA and the Super 8 tournament, it led to a lot of work for me on the independent scene throughout the United States. So I definitely, I tip my cap to Jim Kettner, and I think he still has a great mind, man. He's retired from promoting, but I know that when he watches the stuff, he's got an eye out, and he knows probably who the next big thing is going to be.
When you are working a lot of independent, sometimes you walk into things that you might not be prepared for. Is there a couple horror stories from that time as well?
Not really. I mean, I've been very fortunate in those respects. Like, every once in a while you hear stories of not getting paid or you know, the buildings being rotten or the rings being, a death trap. But I was very fortunate to work with guys that sort of had their heads on straight. And when you, one of the things that, as a professional wrestler, especially working on an independent scene, when you're being brought in to wrestle a lot of the local guys, you're being put in there with what the promoter thinks is their best guy, but at the same time, it's a complete stranger to you, and you don't know, okay, this guy knows what he's doing, or this guy's, an accident waiting to happen. But one of the things that I learned was how to protect myself and never put myself in a position where an unknown commodity might injure me or, affect my livelihood in that way. So, and I could sort of read the writing on the wall, meeting the promoter, coming into the building, meeting the guys in the locker room. I had a good idea then, okay, well, these guys know what they're doing. These guys have a good head on their shoulders, or these guys are flying by the seat of their pants, and I better get out of here before before the building collapses around me. I have very few horror stories where I lost control of the situation. The good guys that are professional, even if they walk into a locker room that isn't as professional, they know how to conduct themselves, they know how to protect themselves, and they know how to make the most out of everything, even when sometimes promoters aren't well aware of the best way to use the talent and who they've got in there. The professionals know how to sort of steer it so that everybody wins and everybody comes out better than before.
What would you say is the biggest difference between working the hectic independent schedule and having a steady job at TNA or somewhere like that?
A stability. There's a stability to it. Working on the independent scene, there's a wide variety of stuff, but I mean, having to basically hit the bricks and push and find your own work, that's a struggle. And I've been very fortunate to not have to have that particular struggle for a very long time. But I tip my cap to the guys that do it independently. First person that comes to mind is Colt Cabana. He has made his living, especially the last couple of years, hustling for his work, and he's made a name for himself as basically an ambassador of independent professional wrestling. And he's always hustling and looking to find that next weekend's work. And but to his credit, when he's booked on an independent show, he goes out and he performs and makes it worth that promoter's while to have Colt Cabana in his locker room and in his wrestling ring. So, I mean, the difference being that stability, like I know what the schedule is. I know that, those shows are going to go down. I'm not going to have to worry about, shows getting canceled or the pitfalls that befall independent wrestling promotions off and on. That doesn't usually happen around TNA. So I just know, just watch the schedule and be ready to go when they want me there.
That is amazing that Cabana, everybody knows who Colt Cabana is, but like you just said, he doesn't have a home promotion. Can you think of anybody else who's ever really had that a run like he has without having a home spot like that?
Not really, man. Not off the top of my head. I mean, you put me on a spot like that. I mean, if I sat and thought about it for 10-15 minutes. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that may not get the publicity that Colt does, because Colt is a self-promotion machine. And especially in this day and age with his podcast and with social media being the way it is, maybe the Young Bucks. I'll say the Young Bucks as a team. Those guys are self-promoters as well. They're all over social media. They're all over the independent scene. Despite the fact that they haven't had a high-profile home promotion for a while, those guys are, you know, traveling around the world, traveling around the United States, still cementing a reputation as one of the best young tag teams in professional wrestling.
And those were guys, you know, we knew in TNA when they were there for their X Division work and their tag work. What are your thoughts on the new X Division format?
I think it's a gamble. I think there's definitely positives and negatives. I think by having them all be three ways, it definitely makes those matches stand out from the rest of the card. But at the same time, it's almost, you know, there's a blueprint that you sort of have to follow, and that could hinder storytelling in the future. It just depends on the individuals involved and the creativity of those individuals involved. I think, you know, the current crop of guys like Kenny King and Chris Sabin and Sanjay Dutt and Petey Williams and Suicide and Zema Ion, all of those guys are very creative, and I think it's up to them to try and find new ways to tell those stories. But it's definitely a challenge, and I don't envy them that spot of having to go into you know, every show or every match that they have, knowing that it's a triple threat match. But if anybody can figure it out, those guys can do it. Those guys are all very talented. They're all very smart, and they're all very innovative.
Does everybody in the back give the referee hell for having to wear that ridiculous hat?
You know what? I don't think you have to wear it anymore. I think that was an experiment, and I'm not sure it's going to keep going on. I mean, and, you know, what can the poor guy do? It's not like he volunteered or said, hey, this is my idea. You know, but it's a testament to TNA and their spirit of innovation, trying to try new things, trying to present the product in a different fashion. And if they can just figure out the logistics of doing that, I think that there's something there. It's just they got to figure out the best technical way to do it and the best way to present it within the framework of the wrestling match. I remember watching the few times that we saw that, and sometimes it was a little bit jarring to all of a sudden switch to that camera shot and to see the movement of the referee. You know, it was a little disconcerting. But, I mean, you have to applaud the ideas and the attempts to show a different side of the professional wrestling product. And I think that's one of the things that Impact has done in the last couple of years, is they have strived to take those chances to make our product different than what you see on Monday Night Raw or any other television show in the United States. We've tried to present our product in a different way so that it stands out, makes you step back and look at it in a different way.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with that. It felt like for the longest time they were trying all these different things and sometimes not even waiting to see what worked and what didn't. But now it seems like they're trying new things, and what works, they do. They keep doing, and what doesn't, they move on. And
that's the thing. You have to not only try these different things, but you also have to have the ego or the lack of ego to say, you know what, that idea didn't work, and I'm not ashamed to say that it's not working, and to jettison it. You know, sometimes people make decisions and they're so adamant. It's going to work, even when it doesn't look like it's working. TNA, we've tried some different things and we've realized, hey, this didn't work, and we've sort of jettisoned it. So, I mean, you know, to our credit, you know, we've got the spirit to try new things, but we've also got the common sense to understand, all right, well, this isn't working. Let's try something different, you know.
Right. Well, do you know yet who you will be facing this Thursday in Duluth or Friday at the Forum in Rome, for that matter?
I don't know specifically who I'm facing, but I can tell you they will be a lesser talent than myself or Francois Kazarian. They will probably be a less talented tag team than us. But no matter who it is, you can be assured that when that music starts and the strut goes down the ramp, the best wrestlers in the ring will be Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. So you can bank on that. If you want to bet your mortgage on that, you can. It's a sound investment. It's probably better than the stock market.
Well, I will definitely keep that in mind.
Excellent.
All right. Well, we are out of time, but I want to thank you for calling, Christopher Daniels, and I will definitely be there Thursday to see Impact live, and I'm looking forward to seeing which lesser talent it is you get in the ring with.
Excellent.
But again, thank you for calling. And
thank you. Luck. Thanks for having me. Thanks for picking up the phone.
That was the least I could do.
Literally.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later, Mr. Daniels.
Yes, you will. All right, have a good day.
All right, you too.
Don't drink and drive. Stay in school, kids. All right. Any of those can be...
Whoops. Sorry, were you still going?
No, are you still going?
Oh.
Stop, are you still going? What's happening? Are we going to part two? Is there a segment that I didn't talk about? Is this the cooking part of the show? What's going on here?
I accidentally cut you off on your list of positive messages, so I just want to make sure.
I see. So the kids didn't hear stay in school. Well, that's when a lot of kids are dropping out of school out in Georgia, we'll know who to blame. So.
We'll know why.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
All right. So, actually, I will have tickets to give away to that show at wrestlingwithpopculture.com later this week. So check back there to find out how you can get tickets to Impact Wrestling on Thursday at the Gwinnett Arena. Did we leave anything out, Matt? Oh, next week, I'm trying to get Goldust to call in because he will be part of that UIW show that's coming up.
Yeah.
That is not confirmed yet, but hopefully it will happen. What do we have this weekend aside from TNA? Deep Southern Championship Wrestling
has got Tyler Cross versus Cyrus the Destroyer and Shane Marks versus Kyle Matthews. I don't think you need to be told anything else.
And that's two of many matches that are probably of equal caliber that I've seen on that card. But, of course, as we mentioned, there's Anarchy. What are the other big ones this weekend? That can't be it.
Those two? is it Rampage weekend?
No. Yesterday
I'm
was
all
Rampage.
Discombobulated. Yesterday was Rampage. No, that's all I know of as of right now.
All right. Well, we'll make it easy ourselves, and we'll direct everyone to gwhnews.com to find out about any other shows this weekend. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. So thank you to Corey Hollis and Christopher Daniels, and we will be back next Monday.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.